Closed door.
Doors! 3, 2, 1, podcast start! That was my Felix impression, yep. The sound tech Felix. From the Sydney show, who screamed what he was doing. Welcome back to the Luke Kijilau, everybody. Hey, let's go for a ride. Let's go on a journey. Mm-hmm. Fade it up, back down, just like that, an audio roller coaster. Welcome aboard. It's good to be back. I'm home. I'm pumped. Before we start, Reese,
yeah,
we've got a sound effect today.
We do.
Who was it sent in by?
Gabriel.
Great. Inglesias.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of mentions recently on the podcast. Hang on. I'm stalling. Gabriel Buzzer. Great. Guys, to begin the podcast, this sound effect from Gabriel in 3, 2, 1, sound.
Oi, lads, I've come for your pickle.
Don't know about that one.
Didn't have many to choose from.
What's that from?
In the email, he said it was from a game he was making. But he just never used it.
Now I feel bad. Okay, that's pretty funny. I thought it was like a pop culture reference that I didn't understand.
Yeah.
And I felt like a lot of people then would have gone through the same social pressure that I went through, which was being on camera and on record, not understanding what I thought was going to be a Rick and Morty reference because I heard pickle. But I do watch Rick and Morty. Like, I've seen the Pickle Rick episode, watched every episode of that show. Great show. Actually, the new episode fucking banged that came out. That's going to be good. So people have seen that. But anyway, we're back. Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I'm just going to be completely fucking honest with you, Reese.
Yeah.
I didn't like that sound effect because I felt like it derailed the energy that I had. I felt like we're off to a great start.
Unfortunately, we didn't have many to choose from.
But I was taking these people who tune in every goddamn week and have really bared with us through a lot of away podcasts. I'm back on my home turf now. It's a home game. It's where I feel most comfortable. And it's good to be back. And I feel like early on, it just got completely derailed by an obscure, well, literally the nichest kind of sound effect you can get, because it was from a video game that some guy never used. And I'm assuming has never released the actual video game. So a lot of just people going like, now, you know what, guys? That was just a bump in the roller coaster. All right, we're back on track. Thank you very much, Gabriel. But also kind of derailed the podcast there. But that's okay. And that's fine. We appreciate all your submissions. If you want to derail the podcast, lukekijilpodcast@gmail.com. We have so much to talk about today, which is so rare. This is a one-of-a-kind episode where we have content. I got the whiteboard back. Dude, we are
full.
Dude, it's full. Look at that full whiteboard, right? I don't want to give it away. I just did. I showed it to the camera. But yeah, we are cooking with gas. So the first things first, I'm home. It's good to be back. Came back from these New South Wales shows with a lot of hope, a lot of relief, and COVID-19, which was great. So the three things you get when coming back from Sydney at the moment, I actually don't have COVID. I will admit, I had the test, and that's how I know, by the way, that I don't have it. I'm not just saying I don't have it. I tested negative. Reese was like, Jesus Christ. Because, you left 2 weeks before me. You bailed early on the trip. Dog. But also, you actually wanted to see your dog, and I thought that was very cute.
You were actually very jealous when I left.
I was so... Oh, yeah. Full disclosure, guys, I was trying not to let on, but I was fucking hating it by the end being away. It's too long to be away for. I planned to be away for 6 days and I was away for 38. I don't think that's unreasonable to be mad about that. It was, and I'm not saying, this is the thing. Whenever I complain on this podcast, it annoys me because some people get annoyed at me complaining. They go, your job is so good. Stop complaining. I understand that. I was away doing what I love. It was very fun. But dude, we went to the War Museum in Canberra because there was nothing to do. That's grim. I actually find that shit interesting. I think people will be shocked to know that I'm weirdly, I've talked about it before, I'm like weirdly obsessed with war, unless it's my weeds. I fucking hate doing that. But I always been fascinated by it as a kid. So I was like, I've already been to the War Museum before. This is my second time round. And it's not like a fun afternoon. It's grim. Like when you're reading all like the facts and the horrors of war and stuff, it really puts your own life into perspective, which also makes me feel a little bit now worse that I'm going to complain about it. Because that was great. But man, this is the problem with complaining on a podcast, because this is a business, right? Now, I don't know, people may not look at it like that. They're like, oh, Luke, he's a comedian, whatever. People think about it on a surface level. At the end of the day, this is a business, right? What I do. I realize that this is the only company in the world, I think I'm the only person with an ABN that uses their clients, which is essentially you guys listening, right? The people who partake in the business and you buy from it, I guess. This is getting confusing. But the point is, you guys are probably the only business in the world that complains and uses these clients as a HR resource. Like no other businesses. If you work at JB Hi-Fi, you don't walk in and someone goes, hey, I'm looking for where the charges are. And you go, fuck, I hate my job. So fucking bullshit. All this, like, that would be a jarring.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. You get fired, right? But this is a weird job where people actually essentially pay me because this podcast, it's not sponsored anymore. No. But, you know, it was sponsored. People used to pay me for complaining, is my point. Now, did I take you the long way in explaining that? Absolutely. Did I also tell you right at the top of the show that I was going to take you on a journey? Also, yes. So I'm a man of my word. All right, we're going the long way around. We have a new brand new segment for you all, which I'm pretty excited about. We'll get into that in a sec. We have the return of the sound tech segment. Coming up, where we rank sound techs of the tour. Now, Reese wasn't there for the Canberra show, but I was, and there was a new sound tech. And just a teaser. Well, that's it, actually. That's the teaser. No, the teaser is his name was T. Now, I didn't ask what letter do you identify as. I just want to make that very clear. I said, hey, man, I'm Luke. What was your name? And he said, T. I didn't say L. I didn't go, man, L, what's up? Now, I have no idea if he was shortening his name, if his name was TJ and he couldn't be fucked to keep saying it, or if his parents called him T-E-A or T-E-A-H. I don't know what his name was, but his name was T. So that was awesome. We'll get to that. So I had a COVID test the second day I got back. And how's this? They didn't let me get a test. I tried to be sneaky and get one as soon as I crossed the border. By the way, no cops policing the Victorian border. So if you are a Victorian and you thought we were safe here from Sydney's COVID situation, we're not, because I just drove straight in. No one checked at all. No one's even really checked if I've had the COVID test. I could be full on just coughing up a storm, spitting on people. So that's awesome. So that's really cool. And we're definitely going to get it again. And that's sick. I tried to get one in Wodonga. They said no. They said, you have to go straight home. And I go, that's right. I'll just drive 3 hours straight home. And they go, no, you can't. You have to go get tested in Melbourne. So I had to wait till the next morning. I went to my local drive-through one. And man, not as fun when you're going through a drive-through. Usually when I'm going through a drive-through, it's, you know, with fast food in mind. It's because I'm a hungry boy. This was 10 a.m. It was cold and I was queuing up to have someone itch my brain, which was great because it was fucking itchy. And I was really glad, actually. I said to the lady, I was like, sorry, I actually have a really, I have like an itch, a burn almost, like a tickle at the top of my cranium. So if you could just get that and then we'll do the COVID test, that'd be great. And what she did was she combined the two, Reese. And she actually fucking jammed a thing so far up my nose that I'm pretty sure I became a unicorn and it came out the top of my fucking brain. I sneezed in her little, like, But that's it. You know, that's how I definitely know I don't have COVID because I fucking sneezed all over the little thing. Thank God she was wearing gloves. She goes, oh, so you might get a little bit of a runny nose and you might feel the need to sneeze, but it's fine. It happens to everyone. I go, oh, I'm pretty sure I can handle a stick up my nose, right? Dude, I can't handle any level of insertion to any orifice. Any, right? I just can't deal with it. Now, I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to say on a podcast which orifices I've dabbled in the past. You know, I don't even like fucking earbuds.
Yeah.
You know, the cotton things. Yeah. Yeah, I don't like them. I don't like sticking shit in my ears. Don't like sticking shit up my nose. Even really, eating's a bit of a hassle. No, but like down my throat. I can't do that because I have a gag reflex. I'd be a terrible porn star.
Yeah.
I really would. So anyway, she shoves it up my nose. She goes, we're going to get the back of your throat first. So I go, I don't know if some people haven't had a COVID. Like most of you, I'm assuming, have had a COVID test. I somehow went almost a whole pandemic without having to get one. And then she goes, back of my mouth. That was fine. I didn't mind that. Please no one clip that. I'm going, And then she goes, all right, up your nose. And I kind of... I raise it up a bit, and dude, I swear she bonked my eye. Ooh. Like, have you got one yet?
No.
Oh, dude. They gouge out your eyes from the inside.
Yeah.
It got, and apparently they don't even get as deep as they used to at the start of the pandemic. They've worked out a better way since, but I still thought it was deep enough. Mm. I don't want it up there. Oh, dude, I was like nose phobic. I was like, get the fuck out of there. I was just, it was right up in, and I swear I felt it touch my brain, and then I went, and like Meg was just losing her mind because she's already had hers. Her one was quicker because I'm freaking out about it, and then she's watching me, and I was like, and then she gets it right up, and she goes, and I think I'm done. And then she goes, all right, other nostril, and I was like, fuck. And she gets up, and the second one I was like, and I'm like crying, and then I just go, Joe! And I just fucking sneeze everywhere. And thank God they're wearing like a fucking hazmat suit because I would have given her at least the flu.
Yeah.
And it turns out I didn't have COVID, which was good. But it's good to know. You know, guys, I'm doing my bit and I'm a hero for getting a test. Thank you very much. So yeah, that was good. Now, before we get into more content, let's just do this new segment.
Yeah.
We're pretty excited about the opener. also pretty excited about the segment. It's a win-win for us. The segment is called... Let us... Oh, what's it called? We will invest for you. Yeah. The segment's just called investing, right? And now, if you don't know, on this podcast, from time to time on tour, we are grown adults and we enjoy some after-hours investments, typically at pubs and bars around the country. Reese and I also love a bargain. Who doesn't?
Ooh, yeah.
Who doesn't love a great deal? You know, someone says happy hour. I say where, when. And how? Because usually how we're getting there is part of it. And that's usually like you have me at happy, you know? So, and also what I'm loving about pubs these days, it's happy hours. It's always 4 till 6 or 3 till 6 if you get a real generous place, which we love. So this segment involves you guys and involves the email, guys. So LukeKidgellPodcast@gmail.com, we need your help. Now, is this almost a tour plug? Yes, but I need to let you all know where we're going on tour so you can participate in the segment. We want you guys to tell us the best deals of the tour in this segment. Oi, mate, is it happy hour yet?
It's 10 a.m., you cheapskate.
Cheap evs are hard to get, so help us choose. Give us your deals that we can't refuse. Reese and I will invest for you. Yeah, we will invest for you. Oh, do, and then I spew in a bush. Somewhere in Bundaberg. I don't think it's long enough.
No.
I think it could use some more duration.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. More length. Couldn't we all use some more length? Guys, that's the segment. We will invest for you. Tell us where to go on tour, right? We are coming to these places. And by the way, come to a show, obviously. We won't be doing any investing in Geelong because Reece won't be there. It's his big B-day the next day. Happy birthday, mate.
Thank you.
This is the first... When should we celebrate your birthday on the podcast? Probably today. No, next week because I haven't planned anything. Yeah. It's Reece's birthday on Sunday, so happy birthday to Reece. Sound off below. Then we are coming to Bendigo. Honestly, probably won't invest there. No. Definitely don't want to stay in Bendigo. Gonna drive home immediately after the show. And I just want to be completely transparent with people who might live in Bendigo who listen to this. The reason for that is I do not want to wake up in Bendigo. And I truly don't know how you do it every day. But that's my main reason. And I feel like if you live there, you'll be like, no, that tracks. And I wish that was also my life. But Melbourne, I mean, I already know pretty good investment places, but sure, send them in. Send us in great deals and pretty much try and top. I want like to find the best deal at a pub in the country. So when you're out and about on the weekend and you're looking at the specials on the bar, just jot them down, take a picture and let us know about it during the week. You know, you find in your camera roll the next day.
What was the Kix one in Melbourne?
Kix had some great deals, the venue during the comedy festival. This is not an ad, by the way. you know what we are going to get, I feel like? A few pub owners going, oh, get down to the, you know, we've got some great deals. It's not a sponsored segment. We just are alcoholics. So let's make that very clear. No, Kix had some good deals. It was $6 rum and Cokes every day. Oh, Captain Morgan's, yep. And $8 pints of like Deeds draft. Yeah, it was like a type of draft. And it was pretty good beer. $8 pints is pretty good.
Yeah.
So that was one of the best. So the best deal I had all tour, nothing will ever top it. And this is, I guess, the one to beat, guys. This is the standard. And I'm not saying it has to beat this because we'll take deals that aren't as good as this one. Because honestly, I think this is as good as it gets. I think I already spoke about this on the podcast. Keelan and I copped a $15 mega jug, which is 2 liters of beer for $15. And you're thinking, look, that's too good to be true. And you get a free packet of chips with every jug, which felt a little unnecessary because I didn't really want the chips. And then Keelan ended up getting some Red Rock Deli chips with it, which went down a treat. Mm. I didn't have any, but that's the one thing I've never wanted with a beer, like potato chips. Like, it's fine.
It depends. If you like...
Backyard Sunday sesh, sure. But like at night, it was like 9 p.m. They're like, do you want some chips? And I was like, not really.
Yeah.
I just had potato chips. I had a Palmer. So $15 mega jug and a packet of chips was the best deal I've seen all tour. That was on the sunny coast at O'Malley's in Moolabar. See, I remember places with good deals. But also, like, this, you know what's fucked? I can't even remember, like, some venues I do my shows at. But I remember where I got a good jug of beer. Adelaide, we probably will do some investing there after the show. So let us know any good deals there. Bunbury, absolutely. Don't plan on being there sober. Perth, sure. Would love for you to send us some great deals to do after the big show. 1,000 seats, please come along. It is not sold out yet. What a shock. But we would love to see you there and bring all your friends in Perth. It's going to be a fucking sick show. Canberra, we're coming back. Maybe some investing there. We are there on a Wednesday night, so we'll see. But if the deal is good enough, we'll check it out. Hervey Bay, essentially we just want these in the back pocket on tour. Hervey Bay, Cairns, Townsville Investments, Mackay. By the way, we're also going to be staying for a few days in Airlie Beach. We're not doing a show there, but I'm going to be there for a couple of days because it's just fun to hang out there. And also some good backpacker bars last time where I did some pretty good investing. That was the one where it rained on the dance floor and it was just the most Queensland shit I've ever seen. We were like there, it was tropical torrential rain. It flooded the bar. So Lewis and I were like, oh man, they're going to close. Like the bar's completely flooded. No one fucking batted an eyelid. It was like it happened every night. And everyone was like, oh, we'll just take your shoes off on the dance floor and it'll be fine. So there's still a DJ under a tarp Yeah, and just pumping beats, and everyone was just dancing. It wasn't like not dancing in the rain. There was a cover, but all the water was flooding in from outside. So people were just dancing in puddles, having the best time of their life. And then we just got involved. We just took off our shoes and we're like, fuck it. You're only in Airlie Beach once, unless you go back, which I am. Then we're going to, Mackay Investments, Rockhampton, Bundaberg, Toowoomba, Sunshine Coast, Gold Coast, Brisbane, Launceston, Hobart. We also are going to be back on the Gold Coast for another week. So Gold Coast spots in particularly. Guys, send us your deals and we will invest for you. Now you're probably thinking, Luke, is this a segment or is this you just asking for a discount code on beer? Call it what you want. It's a bit of fun, right? Yeah. And I kind of want people to get it. You know, I want people to try and top each other. I think we need a leaderboard. Currently, I'm winning. My deal with $15 mega jug of beer and packet of chips has to be the best deal I've ever seen. Yeah. But if you might know a place that does $7 cocktails. I think that beats it. That's crazy. Anything under 10 is wild for cocktails. So, you might... Dude, back in the uni days, and that was obviously a bit of a joke there because I never went to uni. I did TAFE. But back when I was studying, like pre-comedy, but also out of high school, we used to get a Lucky Thursdays.
Yep.
$2.50 pots of beer and $4.50 spirits. They could have just done five. We would have still drank them. I don't know why they weren't trying to do the extra 50 cents a unit there, but... I remember I've told this story before. It was the drunkest I've ever been. We found $50 on the floor and that went a long way. That would just go like five beers nowadays. Like, oh yeah, $50 on the floor. Great. That'll last me the night probably at a pub. But this was, we lined up the bar. We were like, it was like a fucking rap music video. It was like shots, 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 shots. And it was like, just, we had like 20 drinks there. Cause they're like, some were beers, which were $2.50. It was wild. So anyway, and I realized you could only actually get 20 beers for $50. So we definitely didn't have 20 drinks, but I was pretty drunk. So guys, that's the segment. Let us know about investments and obviously get investing yourself. Invest responsibly though. You know, that's what I do. Whenever I'm on Wall Street or, Hindley Street or King Street, I invest responsibly.
We'll do updates throughout the tour.
Yeah. I want to read them out. I want to know what type of deals people are offering in this day and age. Cause it's hard to even get really a schooner under $6 these days, So, and obviously Dan Murphy's doesn't count. We don't actually want deals on bottle shops.
Yeah.
This is over the bar we want.
But I reckon we do the leaderboard. Send in proof of the...
Yeah. I had a photo of my deal of the thingo. So I have proof of the $15 mega jug. It actually put it up on the Luke Kijilau Instagram, which you can follow at the time. So, and I'll be sharing any good investment deals we see on the podcast Instagram throughout the tour, obviously. This is a funny thing that came up during the week. Reese sent me, there were some wild COVID breaches. Did you send the articles to me? One was an article and one was just a...
Both a messenger.
Oh, right. They're both in an article. Okay. So this is real, by the way. Kept asking Reese. I was like, you sure it's not fake? It sounds fake. There's no way this is real. He goes, I can assure you, they talked about it at a press conference. At least it was reported as real. Oh, I want to read the tweets that you sent me first before I read the article. Because the way the tweets were just...
Dolly Messenger.
The way the tweets were just dot pointed was fucked. It was like reading an Onion article or the Batuta Advocate. Exactly. It said, this is like a journalist tweeted, the New South Wales Commissioner just detailed one COVID breach. Two men were sunbaking naked on a south coast beach. They were startled by a deer and ran into a national park. The men then got lost and needed to be rescued by the SES. Now, already, I've got some questions. One, don't be nude during a pandemic when you're actually... Also, don't be out of the house during a lockdown. Like, don't be the dickhead who's breaching COVID, right? But if you are going to be that dickhead, don't have your balls out. I reckon that should just be a rule. You should be fined double if your cock's out when you're fucking risking other people's lives. That should just be in general. If you murder someone with your cock out, you're a savage. You get double life sentence. If you assault someone with your cock out, double again. Don't be an asshole, but don't do it with your cock out, right? Secondly, why was there a deer at the beach? I've been thinking about this since you sent it to me. And thirdly, and most importantly, and you raised this a very good point, if you were startled by a deer, don't run into a national park. There's much more chance there's going to be more deer where it came from than on the beach. Because I've never seen a deer on a beach. No. I've seen a jellyfish on a beach. I've seen a washed up seal on a beach. It was very sad. I've seen a starfish on a beach. I've seen a fish at a beach. I've never seen a deer. So if I was them, if I was startled by the deer, now I understand that the deer was on the beach. Go into the water. The deer can't swim. And also you're naked. So go into the water anyway. Cover your dick, you fucking savage. I throughout this whole time, dude, that must be just one of the, would have been one of the best videos of all time.
Or like their
just
reaction,
a couple blokes sunbaking on the beach. They see a deer. Because no, you know what? Like when no one has ever looked cool running naked.
No.
Do you ever like watch, you know, videos of like streakers in professional sport?
Yep.
They never look cool. Like when, especially when guys do it. Like maybe it's just because I'm attracted to women. But even when women run naked, like if things are bouncing around, it's not sexy. Like it's not sexual running naked. Like, and you know what? Running startled and scared. You'd be flinging everything around. There'd be dicks flapping everywhere. There'd be limbs. It'd be a disgusting sight. Guys in particular running. I just could imagine like me running down the street naked. It wouldn't be graceful.
No.
It'd just be, I mean, first of all, my cock would be fucking hitting trees and, you know, probably be tripping over it. That's a whole other thing. But, I just, this whole thing confuses me. And then there's the embarrassment of they clearly had to tell the story because some SES guy in like the orange suit, you know, are they volunteers, the SES, or are they paid? Either way, shit job. Like, you know, they do great work and they, it's a fucking waste of their time. They're supposed to be like cleaning up roads that, you know, trees fall on and like actually doing emergencies, right? Not finding two nude dudes who were startled by a deer in the bush. That's so selfish. They weren't supposed to be out there in the first place. Even if without COVID, that'd be embarrassing. If some SAS dude was like, kiwi, and then you were just like nude and you're like, fuck.
But I wonder how like the deer approached him. Like, was it just like chilling, just wandering around? Dude, or would it have just been, was it aggressive?
Mate, the blokes think that they were startled. Think of the poor deer. He's just gone to the beach. I'm going to hang out. There's no humans around because of this COVID thing. This is great. Then he just, the deer's like, walked into the beach, sees two fucking flaccid cocks just sunbaking in the sun, probably freaked out. That's, I bet you the deer was like, I don't think that's what a horse would do. You know, this is wild. So anyway, this is a real thing that happened. And is the Sunshine, sorry, South Coast Beach, is that in Sydney? Is this New South Wales? If so, I hope they, I'm glad they get it. You know what I mean? I'm glad that, I'm not glad that this case is, that's horrible, but I'm glad they're being locked down because they're only got fined $1,000. That should be the fine for public indecency alone. They were 30 and 49. Yeah, Otford in Sydney. This happened in Sydney at 6 p.m. on Sunday.
Wales.
Police said the younger man had been discovered naked and carrying a backpack. Jeez, fucking Dora the Explorer grew up, you know, and transitioned. This is incredible. It's difficult to legislate against idiots, Commissioner Fuller said. Not only did they require assistance from the SES, but they also both received a ticket for $1,000. That's not enough because the COVID fine should be more. But also, what about the fact that they were nude? Are you allowed to be naked in a national park? I don't know.
Was it a nudist bee?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, they might have been allowed to be naked on the beach, but definitely not in the park, I guess. I guess it's not the worst thing in the world. You know, they're just hanging schlong. But this one, another one came in, another COVID breach. This is why Australia will just never get over it because we're just a country of fuckwits. Like for every I don't know, 10 people, there's one fuckwit. That's usually our ratio in this country. I'm one of the 10, by the way. I want to make that very clear. But actually not this much of a fuckwit. I'm like this is a better way to explain it. For every 10 people, there's 4 fuckwits. 3 of them have common sense and are all right blokes.
Yeah.
One of them is a actual fucktard, right? I'm not the actual one. I'm just one of the guys that's like, he's a bit of a laugh, but he sometimes knows when to stop. You know, I think I would know when to stop. If I was nude on a beach and I saw a deer, I'd be like, time to go home. Like that'd just be my rule, I think. So this one, 3 arrested in South Australia karaoke bar after flying from New South Wales in private plane. Now, Luke, you're probably thinking, firstly, and this is the first thing I thought when I read this story, if you could afford a private plane, you know, your own personal charter flight, maybe a jet, and you could escape to anywhere in Australia right now, why would you go to South Australia? And when I first read this, I was like, oh, they went to Adelaide. And I was like, oh, you know, cool, rough, you know, fair enough.
Yeah.
Adelaide's nice. It's quiet. I'll give them that. Right? It's actually might be a nice place to go. Reese, they didn't go to Adelaide. They went to Cooper Pedy, which is, if you don't know, a town in Australia that gets so hot that people live underground, actually like hobbits. And I'm not lying. International people might be like, you don't actually live underground. I shit you not. I've been there on a school trip. We slept in a cave. I was like Fred Flintstone for the night. It was wild.
That's why I probably went there, like, no one's going to find us here.
I know. But also, not a great place to hide because there's no one there. And if a new person rocks up in town on a private jet, yeah, that's going to raise some suspicions. Like, it's not a place. I've been there. It's one street above ground. They do have, like, a few above ground buildings. And then it's a lot of opal mining, shit like that. It's mainly just miners or families of miners who occupy the town. It's just desert. It kind of reminds you know what it reminds me of? That town in Cars, Radiator Springs, but if it was underground.
Yeah.
Like if you go there, you went off the freeway and you're lost, right? Or you took a private jet there because you're a fucktard. They allegedly landed in Cooper Pedy on a private plane after they had already been denied entry to the Northern Territory. Rich people piss me off so much. Oh, that makes me so angry that they just were like, oh, we're not doing COVID, like the poor people. And they just went to arguably the worst place in Australia and then went to a karaoke. This is why rich people suck. They were like, what are we going to do in karaoke? By the way, I've just realized, why did Cooper Pedy have a karaoke bar? Is there that much demand? When I went there, I didn't see a demand for tunes.
Yeah.
I saw a demand for cash. When I went there, there's a lot of people going, "Where? Well, this is a short-term thing."
What I want to know is what track were they belting out when the cops busted in? Yeah.
Yeah. It better have been something worth it.
Yeah.
If you sang like Dolly Parton, oh, I'll be so mad. If you are halfway through Jolene, 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 get your hands behind your back. You're like, Jolene. Not worth it, dude. But if you were pumping you know what they wouldn't have been pumping? The rich fucks. Working class man.
No way.
Those snobs. Nah, they wouldn't be into Jimmy Barnes. What are rich people like? Coldplay. I bet you they were just pumping out clocks. It was all yellow. And they were just singing it all posh as well. I don't have no idea what rich people like. What do rich people do? Other than of trying to avoid the law and be pieces of shit. That's the thing. If I ever got rich off comedy, I just don't think I'd be a typical rich person. I don't have it in me. Because comedy is too humbling. I think even the richest comedians in the world, I saw Louis C.K. 5 nights in a row at the Comedy Cellar. He was talking to the crowd and stuff beforehand. And he's he's a household name.
Yep.
He's in movies and stuff. I just don't think as a comedian you can ever be famous. Kevin Hart is the only comedian I think that has almost gone to rock star levels of fame. Because of his movie. That's mainly because he's in movies, though.
Yeah.
He's a movie star now. But you know what? No matter how successful I get, I don't think you can get successful in this country. Every time I think I'm doing well, I just came back from doing some of the best shows I've ever done. I did 600 people in one night in Sydney. Now, I know that's not crazy numbers because there's heaps of comedians that do theaters and stuff. But for me, that's fucking great. And that's the, you know, biggest show I've ever done. The back to back. I did 2 300s back to back, which was so much fun. And that was big for me. And I was like, at the time, you're like, man, I'm going well. Like, this is cool. And, you know, you appreciate it where in the moment. And then today, I've ripped up 3 boxes and put it in my bin. You know what I mean? Just standing out the front of my house, ripping up merch boxes. And I was like, halfway through ripping one, and I was like, oh, I'm never going to make it. I was like, this is just, and you can't in this country. And that's okay. And that's good because I'll never, ever be so entitled. I'll never have my head so far lodged in my anus that I will go, I'm going to fly to Cooper Petey and sing Jolene. Never once will I do that because that's humility, man. That is called being down to earth. I mean, Cooper Petey is down below earth. That's too down to earth. Actually, never go to Cooper Petey. You are below sea level, probably. Actually would be a fun place to like go with the boys. Thinking now in my head, kind of see the appeal because it's like you're in the middle of a pandemic, you're from Sydney, you're loaded, you've got a private jet. You go, what's going to be a funny place to go to for like a week? Like, oh, remember the time we like fucking sang karaoke in a hole? That would be good. Okay, guys, I see the appeal. Never mind, I take it all back. It would be awesome and I hope it was worth it. But it is selfish. It's not cool. Yeah. Cooper Petey police were tasked to locate the travelers. Yeah. You know why? Because the people at the airport would have been like, firstly, someone came here today. Crazy. What, honestly, how many planes would land in Cooper Petey a year? Like 20? Maybe one a day? Oh, maybe I'm like underselling it. Maybe it's bigger town than I'm thinking. Cooper. Is it Cooper or Cooper? Cooper Petey population. I reckon I'm guessing under 10,000 people live there. And just for perspective, Gympie has 20,000 people. Oh, 1,700 people live there. So I wasn't underselling it at all. If 2 new people come in, that's a big deal.
Talk of the town.
Yeah. Dude, I'm almost going to have that many people in a room in Perth come see my show. That's crazy. Yeah, this is a picture of Cooper Petey, by the way. So that their houses are half underground. You can kind of see the roofs. It's really weird. It's kind of like looking at a town if it got buried in an earthquake.
Yeah, it's like a town like on Mars.
Yeah, a little bit of Pompeii about it.
Yeah.
Like if a volcano erupted, completely fucked it up, and then people were like, nah, we'll still live here.
If they civilized Mars, it would look like that.
Yeah, kind of. That's what the Australian desert looks like. It's really weird. I went up there on a Central Australia trip during school, and we slept there for one night, and it was so much fun. It was one of the coolest places I've ever been to. I would actually like to go back because it's one of those places where, in Alice Springs, I think I remember I had the best day of my life. Like in the sense that it was fucked and it was so much fun. And I love doing stuff like that. Like I just remember I was like year 11 and all our tents flooded. It just poured rain for some reason in the middle of the Australian desert. Everyone's tents flooded. No one was prepared for it. And then everyone was complaining. All the teachers were freaking out because everyone's clothes got wet. All my shit got wet. People lost their phones like because it happened while we were asleep and we're all sleeping on a hill. So the water just ran through the bottom of everyone's tent and it made everyone's clothes red because of the red dirt. So if you had a white t-shirt, you just lost the t-shirt. Like I probably lost like 4 t-shirts that trip. And everyone actually, the teachers took us all to Kmart and I'm pretty sure because we're on a school camp and you're in school, it's like weird to spend money on a school camp. Like, do you remember like on a school camp, this is from memory, correct me if I'm wrong. Do you remember when they used to take $20 with you?
Yeah.
To like, your parents would like give you money on a school camp, like if you go to a tuck shop.
Yeah.
And you like, you know, if you go to Ballarat, you'd like buy some boiled lollies or something like at Sovereign Hill.
Yeah, yeah.
It was weird to like kind of just have money at that school because you didn't really need it. I remember the teachers had to like call the school and they opened up like a little fund so we could all go buy new shit from memory. Because we also got to Kmart because everyone lost their fucking clothes and we had a week and a half of a trip to go. It was the best day of my life because none of the teachers were supervising anyone. Me and my friend, because our shoes were fucked, we caught the bus into town. We just left. We're like, just all like the teachers, like, oh, can we go? And they're like, what? Yeah, where are you going? And we're like, we're going. And we just left.
Yeah.
And we were barefoot on a public bus. And I don't know if you've ever been to Alice Springs, but we were not the only people barefoot on the bus. It was a big old vibe yeah. there to be barefoot on the bus. And we were just walking around Kmart barefoot, having Nerf battles. And like, and there was pouring rain and we're in the middle of the desert. And I just have such fond memories of laughing. Like so much where I had a headache because I was like, what the fuck is my life?
Yeah.
And I was like 17. I'd never done anything cool before that. I'd never been in the desert. Because it was awesome. Yeah.
Our school trips were never in a state, always in like shit places in Victoria.
It was like a one where you like not everyone went. Like you had to apply to go and like the school ran it and it was like 50 people only and you had to put an application. Yeah. And my parents thought it was going to be a good thing for me to do. And it was because my brother did it. So they're like, you can do it too. It was expensive from memory. But like, yeah, I'm not. By the way, I'm not rich. Like my parents aren't rich at all. My dad's like a teacher and my mom works in retail. So it was a real like big thing at the time. Because I'd only ever been interstate like twice. I went to Darwin and then I went to Gold Coast and Sydney before I toured.
Yeah.
Like it was weird. I was very sheltered. You were too.
You
just go to watch soccer in other states. That's
I traveled like I did Sydney and Gold Coast when I was younger. Then when I was 18, I went to Adelaide for a soccer game.
Did you freak out when you went had to fly by yourself for the first time?
No.
Oh,
that's all right.
This was awesome. So Reese was kind of like a bit nervous, not really nervous.
He
was more just like, oh, so like, hang on, do I put my bag on first? And because he'd never flown by himself and. We'd only recently started flying in because we went to Adelaide and and everywhere else we pretty much drove on the tour. So we haven't done a lot of flying yet on this tour. So Reese was a bit like, oh, I haven't flown in like 10 years and also never flown by myself. So he was like asking questions. Then we kind of drop him off. I felt me and Meg feel like your mum and dad on tour. And we dropped him off at the airport. We're like, good luck, mate. You know, and I was like, remember, just like print out your boarding pass and then go to the baggage thing. And you're like, sweet. We dropped you off and we left. And then... Meg was just like, oh God, I reckon he's going to fuck it up. And I was like, oh yeah. 10 minutes later, we get a call from someone at Virgin Airways. Like, hi, this is Michelle from Virgin Airways. We're just looking to speak to Reese Hawker. We actually need him to come back up. His bags have been seized. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, oh no, he's smuggling cocaine. This is classic Reese. You know, it's just, you know, Chappelle Corbying it up. On the way from
board.
I was like, I knew we shouldn't have gone to the surf shop. And then anyway, I call you and I go, dude, I think you have a battery. I knew what it was. She didn't tell me what it was. I was like, I know what it is. It's the little charger thing. Man, you
my
have.
Portable charger.
The portable charger. I knew you had it with you. I was like, ah, yeah, that's not supposed to go on your check page. It's supposed to go on your carry on. I go, hey, you need to go back to the thing. Because why didn't they call you?
No, they did. I went to the toilet and I missed the call.
Oh, okay. Yeah, great. Nothing better than being a security threat where you're taking a shit at an airport.
But everything else was fine. The check-in was fine. Everything went
fine. It wasn't that smooth. I got a call about you. And I had to then call you and I was like, sorry about him. So
I got lost and didn't know where to go. So I'm like asking people where the fuck's the place to go.
So it didn't go smooth at all.
No. The first part, the checking in, everything was fine.
Yeah.
But just going to get the bag
was an issue. That happened to my ex in... Thailand, and that was scary because they have guns there.
Oh yeah,
on the runway.
No, they're lovely about it.
Yeah, nice. They're lovely in Sydney and Thailand. They're not lovely about it. They see a white person who's a security threat, and they put their hand on their gun next to their hip, and it's like, dude, I gotta charge you, bro. All right, I wanted to charge my phone on the plane. You know, I remember that she got called down, and then it was kind of weird. Like she had to go down the runway. She was like, oh my God, they had guns. And like, I was like, oh my God, Jesus Christ. Cause international flights are, Asia's a different world.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we like, I'm sure you got treated with respect.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. They would have been like, hey, we're so sorry. We just have to know. Yeah. None of that.
Yeah. I was apologizing. Like, they were like, that happens all the time.
They were like, open your bag. What's in it? Like, cause you know why? Cause it was a Jetstar flight coming back from Thailand, and they were like, we've done this dance before. You know, we've seen what happened in Bali where we're not taking any chances.
Well, lesson learned.
Yep. So don't bail, guys. If you're rich, if you have a private plane, I'll be shocked if anyone listening to this podcast has a private plane. What else do I want to talk about? Jeez, I have heaps of content. Oh, we have to do sound takes of the tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there was a guy named T, had an accent. I'm terrible at figuring out where people are from. I'm almost so ignorant that I see a white person with an accent, and if it's not British, American, Canadian, or South African, I just go, somewhere in Europe. Maybe, but it also like probably could be, what are those other like Brazil or like, it could have been something. He was like, oh, my name is T. Hello.
That's really nice.
But also I'm butchering it because I'm not good at accents. I don't even know what accent he was. But anyway, his name was T and he was pretty good. I would rank him. So who's winning at the moment?
Darren.
Daz from Melbourne is currently winning the sound text of the tour. It's like a half ranking. It's like a half leaderboard, half tier list system. We have a few A tier lists. If we were to do a tier list video, I would say Brad and Daz would be A tier. You know, there's your B tiers. There's your C's and D's. I'm not going to name any names, but, you know, Felix was intense. He was great. Got the job done.
With Felix, I'm thinking of rating him high. I'm contemplating rating him high because of all the joy he's brought to my life.
A few people brought that up to me, actually, who I've spoken to about this. They were like, geez, it sounds like Felix, who I described as a no-nonsense operator, got the job done and there was no complaints. And I agree.
That's what Lewis said yesterday.
Yeah. And he was like, he sounds like he should be higher. But we also, Reese and I also, sure, the job is important and we like people to get the job done. But the hang is equally as important. Brad, great hang. Daz, great hang before the show. Like, he'd tell us stories about, you know, snakes.
Yeah.
Not his cock, but, like, he worked at Healesville Sanctuary. So, he was just a good hang. And, like, one night, he was on Triple J.
Yeah.
Like, he was like, oh, man, I was on Triple J last night. Like, every day, he seems to have a new story. One night, he got nude at the pub. The night before.
He's also a comedian?
Yeah, and he does like a little bit of magic. So he was like telling me about his magic tricks. Everything. And one of his tricks he gets naked in. Like, he was just the best hang ever. Like, because every day he'd be like, oh, I got nude last night at the Exford. And we're like, what? And like, we only have 15 minutes for the show. So while Reese is setting up, Reese is copping this great story about, you know, whatever happened to Daz.
And he got real into the show, like his openers for you.
Oh, yeah. What was his forte was...
They can't hear you at town.
He was like, guys, make some noise for Luke Kidgel. And the crowd always goes, at the start. And every single time you have to go, you can do better than that. And the crowd goes, fuck, fine. And then they do it louder. He goes, they can't hear you down at town hall. And then I think most of my audience don't know what the comedy festival is.
Yeah.
And they don't know that most of the shows happen.
Like the hub,
the hub of the comedy festival is the Melbourne Town Hall. I don't think a lot of my crowd knows that because they're just like, I saw him on TikTok. I bought a ticket. So they were just like, he was like, they can't hear Town Hall. People just turning around going, what? That's ages away. Of course they can't hear us. That would be ridiculous. Daz was a good hang, Brad. And I would say T... Honestly, I didn't hang with them much because I went backstage and had a Palmer. This was weird, actually, about the rider in Canberra. They, on email, were definitely pretending, and they did this last year at the show. They go, hey, we'll sort out a rider for you, which is like a meal and drinks or whatever, just like food and snacks backstage. And I go, yeah, sweet, just like a meal and a couple of waters is totally fine. And then they go, yeah, well, great, we can get that sorted to you. I get there and I go, oh, this is a university. There's not like any restaurants open. Like, where are they going to get me food from? They just like Uber Eats it from a pub. Like, I just got a takeaway Palmer from the nearest pub.
You get the Uber Eats bag?
Yeah, like it came in like a menu log bag, I think. And it was just quite strange when they were like, oh, here's your meal. Like, and they claimed it like they cooked it up. And I was like, all right, thank you. But now I feel weird about it because now I just know they spent money delivering it and it makes me feel bad and whatever. So I was like, okay, cool, great. So that was weird, but I didn't get to talk to the sound tech too much and I didn't bother recording the audio of the show. So I honestly didn't have much to do with them. There was two dudes. I didn't even catch one of them's name. He had a little bit of a stress over the fact that he didn't want to play Fat Bottom Girls, my walkout song, over Spotify because he didn't want to get the timestamp right. So we ended up going with Reese Maston's Paradise City because that's just banging from the start. So I go, dude, just smash play. And he had a bit. He had a good sense of humor.
Good.
He had a bit of a. He lightly chuckled when I said Reese Maston is the songbird of our generation. Just like you there, right? And it's not a great one, right? But it's funny. And you know what? He's. I actually got the vibe he was. Hasn't been living here for too long. So I don't actually know if he knew who I was talking about. I don't think he was here during the X Factor days. I think he might have been abroad when Reese Maston was popping off here. But yeah, he had a good time with it. I caught him laughing a couple of times throughout the show. He did a swift pack up afterwards because I went back to get the tripod. They'd already packed up the stage and everything. So look, limited time spent with T. Name, 10. Loved that. Was confusing though, because he goes, "What's your name?" And I go, "T," and it threw me off. If someone says, "Your name's T," you're like, "Is that a nickname? Is that what your parents said? What's on your birth certificate? Is it T-E-A? Is it a letter?" Very confusing.
And the first thing after like the show, I messaged, the first thing I said to you after the show, I was like, I texted it to you because I wasn't there.
Yeah.
How was the sound?
You were on the beers going, "Oi, how was the sound tech?"
And you just wrote back, "Good, his name was T." You just wrote T.
Yeah. Which that was wild. So his name was part of the alphabet, which is kind of cool. So yeah, other than that, he was good. But you know what? We didn't get close enough to rank him too high. And it's no disrespect to T. I almost felt like it was my fault that I didn't get to know him. Because I felt like if I had of, he could have been, you know, maybe ranking fifth. But just because you weren't there and you didn't experience him, yeah, it was a non-event. It sucks coming back on the podcast, second time we do this segment. Man, he was just above Jack and Simo.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's second last. No, third last. No. Wagga. We won't talk about it. No comment. Jack and Simo are well and truly last because they just organized speakers and didn't set them up.
That's going to be tough. Like, surely no one can...
No one could... Oh, hey, wait till we get to fucking Rockhampton. Like, something will go wrong. Like, there'll be a town where we rock up to, like, I don't know, like, Cairns or who knows. Like, I have no idea what some of these venues are. Like, I know we're doing an Irish pub in Townsville where I actually don't think there is a sound tech.
Oh, great.
So, you'll be back on the list. So, who knows? But, yeah, I would say ranks below Felix. Yep. Just below Felix. Because I kind of like the fact that Felix screamed doors.
Yeah.
We still talk about that a lot. And the last thing, that's the end of that segment, guys. So that's the new ranking. We'll put T. He's not a high list, but I would put him C or B tier. Sound tech. And the last final thing on my notes here, it just reads, Tyrese Gibson and Ludacris are the greatest comedy duo of all time. Which is a huge call. Now, for those who haven't seen the Fast and Furious franchise, at this point, you just must be hating the podcast because we talk about it every week.
It's become a real staple on the podcast.
It has. People talk about it with me at shows. They go, "Man, I watched Fast and Furious recently." And it is something I'm quite passionate about, but I also don't really care if you've watched it. We watched Furious 6, we're up to. We're trying to get to number 9 by the time it goes, before it goes out of cinemas.
Yep.
We want to go see it at the cinemas, Meg and I. So we're up to 6. Heartbreaking end to 6. Not as heartbreaking as 7.
Yeah.
When Paul drives off. That's, you know, that makes grown men cry. But yeah, I don't want to spoil it, but boy oh boy. A few favorites. Obviously, favorite moments were Tyrese Gibson and Ludacris's chemistry. You know, people think Hamish and Andy, Key and Peele, Leno and Woodley. Trying to think of more comedy duos. Luke and Reese, you know, like the classics that people talk about. Who's the flower pot blokes? Bill and Ben. Bill and Bob. Bill and Ben, the flower pot man.
Yep.
Bill and Ben, they're not very funny, but they're a great duo. B1, B2, not that funny. If anything, the Rat in the Hat was the comedic relief of the Bananas in Pyjamas. It's beside the point. Ludacris and Tyrese Gibson, they just trumped them all. Great moments where, you know, there's a real intense scene. Like, how are we going to do whatever the fuck mission we've decided to do this movie. And then Tyrese Gibson is just like trying to get a snack out of the vending machine in the corner. Oh, and yeah. he's like, and he's like, ask Ludacris for change. He's like, seriously, man, you're a millionaire and you're asking me for a dollar. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, because
great banter.
That's great banter. And then The Rock actually pretty funny as he's trying to select which chips to get. Because he's interrupting the meeting and ruining the Rock's flow as he's trying to be intense. The Rock grabs a shotgun and shoots the glass out of the vending machine so he can have whatever he wants. And all the chips spill onto the floor. And that was a six. That was pretty good. That's about as good as it gets in the Fast and Furious. So moments with Tyrese and Ludacris just light up those films. And yeah, I'll be honest. I think I might have had a few beers when I wrote that one. I remember messaging you, dude, Tyrese Gibson, yeah. Ludacris, best comedy duo of all time. You were just like, you go to me, talk about it on the podcast. yeah, but fight me. I will, you know, good luck to anyone trying to dispute that. All right. You name a funnier comedy duo. Name a more iconic duo. Good luck. Simon and Garfunkel were pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
But, you know, Tyrese and Ludacris. Ludacris, without a doubt, the best thing he's done. Oh, let's end the podcast here. Ooh. You know what? I was actually not planning to do an hour today, and we've got there with ease.
Yeah.
Damn, I was like, to the race, I was like, dude, let's just stop doing an hour. Like, who gives a shit? 45 minutes an hour.
Same thing.
Who's counting?
Yeah.
Right? Everyone listening because there's a timestamp. But, you know, I'm not going to put myself under such pressure to make the hour anymore, guys, but we've done it with ease today. Or maybe we should. I reckon we just tease this for next week because it's so good. I don't want to rush it.
Yeah.
We've only got like, you know, 4 minutes left. Reese sent me a video of the rapper who's popular, popularized, and you'll probably know him from squeezing a titty in Too Fast, Too Furious. Or is it the first one?
First one.
Okay, sorry, the first one. Mate. Just after the tuna sandwich scene, they cut to the night street racing scene, and Ja Rule squeezes a titty. Since then, this is a bit of a where are they now? Reece sent me an ad Ja Rule did for what looks to be a local Greek restaurant behind a green screen where he's clearly going off script and yelling about souvlakis and just different type of Greek dishes. And next week, we will review it in length. It's a bit of fun.
Ooh, yeah.
Ja Rule screaming in front of a green screen. It was very obvious that he's just rocked up and be like, so what do you want me to say? And then he just hasn't said any of it.
No.
And then he walked out and was like, you get what you
can't
get.
Can't pronounce anything.
Yeah, no, he can't even fucking speak. All he can do is just, you know, rap and squeeze titties. That's really what he's about. So anyway, we'll watch that next week. Guys, thank you very much for tuning in. Once again, we appreciate it. And yeah, come see a show, lukekidgell.com. Camera show was super fun. There's another camera show if you missed out on August 11th. And the rest of the dates are on my website. Come to Perth, Adelaide. I think there's a few Melbourne tickets left. Hopefully Melbourne gets back to full capacity. Otherwise, we'll have to figure something out because I've sold 450 tickets. But currently, there's only 300 people allowed in a room with the COVID restrictions. So we'll figure it out. But yeah, we'll probably just do it off like if there are restrictions, the first 300 people who bought tickets will be coming to the show and then everyone else will have to get rescheduled or whatever. We'll see. It's still a couple of weeks away. And now Bendigo as well, we've sold to, I think, almost a 75% capacity, and that's where we might have to cap it due to the new restrictions. So people may miss out. So anyway, that's business, unfortunately, at the moment, which sucks. But we're doing everything we can to get these shows to go ahead, including me being away for 38 days and honestly hating it passionately by the end. I was so shitty. The day that I thought I had to do 14 days isolation, I almost cried. Like, not really, but like I was devastated. I was like, I've been neglecting Luke and Lewis. I felt horrible. Lewis has been training up like Devlin a lot because Devlin's been taking a lot more responsibility behind the scenes, doing more than just TikToks. And I was supposed to be there for that. And I felt it was just really bad. I was like neglecting a business I run and also my business. And also I thought then we couldn't work together for another 2 weeks. Mm. I was like, that's annoying. And I thought, oh, we have to do more fucking Zoom episodes of all the podcasts and shit. So thank God that was not the case. They ended up revoking, or they just went back on it and they made it an orange zone. So I just had to get a test. It'd be negative and then I was all good. So thank God. Come to the show, guys. That's the end of the podcast. I'll see you later and send us your investments. If you spot a good deal on a night out, we need to know about it. Even if it's not from one of the places we're going to, I kind of just want to see what's the best deal in Australia. Happy to go out of our way.
Yep.
Yep. For a deal that good. Great. See you later.